So our last topic for the break will be impacts of agricultural tile drainage on water, phosphorus, and sediment losses by Laura Klaber.
Thank you. So the agronomic benefits of tile drainage have been pretty well established over the years. We see improved aeration, warmer soil temperatures, and ability to get on those fields sooner, which all contribute to a longer growing season. We also can see increased root depth and biomass by lowering that early season water table. And so all of these factors taken together can improve both crop yields and quality. What's less understood is the impact of tile drainage on water quality, particularly with respect to phosphorus. So we see some quite a few mixed results. There's a lot of interrelated factors working. So we have site and soil characteristics, different climates, as well as a variety of different management decisions that can be undertaken. So we see tend to see lower concentrations of sediment and phosphorus in tile drainage water than in surface runoff. However, we tend to see higher runoff volumes at the same time. So the question really is whether those concentrations are low enough to offset those increased runoff rates. And so a recent review by King et al. Found that on average we see about 0.4 to 1.6 kilograms per hectare per year of total phosphorus export from tile systems. So the objectives of our study were to quantify the export of water, soluble reactive phosphorus, unreactive phosphorus, which we defined as the difference between total phosphorus and soluble phosphorus, total phosphorus and total suspended solids from four side-by-side corn plots under two different management scenarios. Two of the plots had just no enhanced drainage, so we just collected the surface runoff. And then two of those plots were tile drained, so we collected both the surface and the subsurface runoff. So this is a schematic of the plot layout in the field. Each of the plots were about a quarter acre in size. The tile laterals were spaced at about 7.5 meters and at a depth of 90 centimeters. At the base of each of the plots, we had a surface runoff collection trench, and then both the surface and the subsurface runoff were routed to manholes at the corner of each of the plots. So we experience about 80 centimeters per year of precipitation at the site. I should say we're in northern New York. About 130-day growing season. The plots are oriented along about a 5% slope with a minimal transverse slope. The soils transition from a well-drained outwash soil at the top of the slope and down into a poorly drained silty clay. It was prior to the study, the field was managed as a long-term grass field with about one cutting taken per year, no prior history of improved drainage, and no recent history of nutrient additions. And so prior to the monitoring of the study, we terminated the sod, plowed it down, and then began monitoring just prior to planting the first year of corn. So we continuously monitored water flow using 5-gallon buckets, which we modified with V-notch weirs, with pressure transducers housed in a stilling well. We developed individual rating curves for each of these bucket and logger systems by relating water depth to measured field flows. We collected water samples weekly during periods of low flow and hourly during high flow events. We did miss a few high flow events capturing with auto samplers, but in those cases we did collect several samples over the course of the event. So we analyzed the data for water yields, calculated plot loads, as well as flow-weighted mean concentrations for the different phosphorus fractions and suspended solids. We analyzed them based on individual events as well as the cumulative loads lost over the study. We analyzed both by treatment as well as by hydrologic pathway. So those abbreviations you'll see as we go through the results, TDSS refers to the subsurface drainage from the tile drained plots, TDOF is the overland flow from the tile drained plots, and UDOF is the overland flow from those undrained plots. We didn't see a lot of statistical significance with the exception of the runoff volumes. I believe this is due to the fact that we only had two replicates and only had a monitoring period of just over a year. So if we had extended that period or had a bit greater replication, might have seen some more statistically significant results, as we did see some fairly big numerical differences. So here's just some soil test results. We dug soil pits in the center of each plot prior to the start of the study. So soil characteristics were, there was no difference between the treatments, but what I'd really just like to point out on this graph is those green bars is our soil test phosphorus, and that's at 1 milligram per kilogram of modified Morgan extractable P. So those were very low rates, reflecting the fact that this had been hadn't had a history of nutrient additions. So here we have a graph of the water yield treatment means over the course of the study. So we began monitoring April 20th of 2014 and continued through June 30th of 2015. You'll see that period of missing data. This was due to freezing and thawing conditions, so the temperatures would rise during the day and we'd see runoff, but then have freezing temperatures at night. So we had ice formation in our runoff collection systems, which prevented an accurate water flow estimation. And also I'd like to point out that December 26th peak is a result of snowmelt. So we did not estimate the water equivalency of that snowpack depth. So when you look at the rain, that is truly just rain, and we didn't capture the water from snowmelt. So we did in the runoff calculations, but didn't have a total precipitation amount. And then each of those stars above those peaks represents an event in which we collected hourly samples over the course of the event. And so we see, as we expected, we about 3.5 times more more runoff volume from those tile drained plots than the undrained plots. So here is a closer look at that snowmelt event. We see that we did change the primary pathway of runoff from the surface in those undrained plots to the majority of the runoff occurring through the tile drains in those tile drained plots. I'd also like to mention about a month prior to this event, manure was broadcast applied. However, prior to that manure being able to be incorporated, the snow fell, and so that manure was at the surface unincorporated underneath that snowpack. And so we had no snowmelt until this event. So we had a large pool of phosphorus available at the surface to be carried in runoff. So we see the impact of changing that hydrologic pathway. We saw about a half less total phosphorus load leaving the site in those tile-drained plots than in the overland flow from the undrained plots. And also, 80% of that total phosphorus was in the form of soluble reactive phosphorus, so really saw the impact of that manure at the surface. Here we're looking at at the cumulative phosphorus and TSS loads over the course of the study by treatment means. So we see about a 35% less SRP loads lost from those tile drained plots, about 2.5 times more TSS lost from the undrained plots than in the tile drained plots. However, maybe a bit surprisingly, that was not reflected in the total phosphorus losses. But again, if we think about this site with the very low soil test phosphorus, there just wasn't that much phosphorus on those soil particles leaving. So maybe in a different site with a higher soil test phosphorus, we might have seen that reflected in the total phosphorus loads. And so this is the loads, again, just being broken down by the pathways. So we see even though only about 5% of the runoff occurred from those tile-drained plots as overland flow, other than TSS, we saw very similar phosphorus loads between the two different pathways of runoff. Here we're looking at the flow-weighted mean concentrations. So we see in all cases much lower flow-weighted means from the tile-drained plots. and much closer to those eutrophication thresholds of 0.03 milligrams per liter that are critical to suppressing eutrophication. And then again, just breaking it down by hydrologic pathway, we see those tile-drained flow-weighted means, tile runoff from the tile drains, again, close to or below eutrophication thresholds. And so then just to summarize, we saw 36 and 61% reductions in SRP and TSS in those tile-drained plots. The December snowmelt event demonstrated the importance of good manure management in preventing both soluble phosphorus and total phosphorus losses. Even though only about a quarter of the total rain fell during those seven intensively monitored events, they were responsible for a majority of the losses of both phosphorus and sediments. We saw lower total phosphorus and soluble phosphorus flow-weighted mean concentrations in the tile flow. And then again, just to mention that the phosphorus status of this soil may have had some impact on the results, and in a site with normal and closer to average histories of manure application, we may have seen some differences, particularly with the total phosphorus and based on those TSS losses. And so with that, I'd like to thank our funding sources and take any questions. Yeah, right. We are not, we've changed the site over. So this was for my master's thesis work, which is why it was sort of a shorter period of time. And the site has since been changed over to looking at the impacts of cover crops on those on the losses from tile drainage. So we won't be following it. A lot of northern New York has been tile drained. What we're actually seeing is across Lake Champlain and Vermont, seeing a lot of tile drainage going in at a much higher rate now. So we're in the same watershed, so it's in similar climate. So even though we've had the tiles there, and it's not over there, so it's important to the area.
Any other questions? Thank you.